I do want to say a special thank you to Bruce and to Kimberly for filling in for Dr. Hutchins today. Rich and Susan are away this weekend taking advantage of the gift that you gave them for their fifth anniversary. And they've been away in the mountains for the last few days having a great time. And we appreciate Bruce and Kimberly jumping in and taking care. I think every time you do the children's message, though, Kimberly, I think we have got to get Rich some cheerleader lessons. We've just got to. And she showed us all of those animals, and I just want to confess to you this morning. And right now before you, you see one of the most dangerous animals on the face of the earth. I just want you to know that, because you know what you're looking at this very moment? A preacher who left his watch at home. Oh, it's going to be fun today. Oh, it's good to have a helpmeet. Little boy set out to construct a sailboat one day. He had wanted to have one for a long time because there was a lake not very far from his house, and he thought, if I could build a boat and sail it on that lake, that would be outstanding. And so he talked to his father, and he talked to his mother, and he talked them down till they finally bought him a kit where he could build his own little sailboat, and he did. He took that thing, and he worked seriously on his sailboat. He built it meticulously. He sealed it to make sure it would be watertight. He painted it with great care because he wanted it to be the prettiest thing on the water. And when he was finally finished with his boat, he tied a string to the front of the boat so that he could take it down and sail it in the lake. The day finally came when everything was ready, and he carried his boat proudly with new riggings and sails that he put so the wind could blow it, and he put it out in the water, and he was having the greatest time until the string broke and the boat was set loose on the lake, and he had to watch helplessly as it disappeared off into the distance. He was crushed. It was gone forever. Or so he thought, until about a month later, when he was walking by a secondhand store on the main street of his town, and he looked in the window of that store, and what do you think he saw? His boat. The sails were tattered, and it had been scraped, and the paint was faded, but he had no doubt that was his boat. And he ran into the store, and he said to the shopkeeper, "That's my boat. That's my boat. I made it. I painted it, and it's mine." And the man looked at him and he said, "Well, son, it is a beautiful boat, but I have to be honest with you. Somebody else found this boat and they brought it in to me and they wanted to know, did I want to buy it? And I thought I could buy this and I could sell it for a good price. So if you want to have it, it's going to cost you $50. The little boy was crushed. He didn't have anything like $50 to buy his boat back. But he was determined. And over the weeks ahead, he tried to save every way he could think of. He set aside all of his allowance toward a fund to buy back his boat. He did extra chores that his parents allowed him to do so he could make a little more money. He raked leaves in the neighbors' yards. He did odd jobs for anybody who would pay him a little bit just to save some money. And finally, the day came when he had $50. And he made his way to the store, and he gave the money to the man, and he took his boat to carry home again. And as he walked out the door, this is what he said: "You are mine. I made you. I lost you. I bought you back. And you belong to me." The Bible says that's a good description of what the Lord's done in your own life. There's even a biblical description for what that's called. It's called being redeemed. Redemption is a huge theme in the Bible. Redemption is about what happens to a soul that was lost but has been bought back again by Christ. It's not a term that's used much anymore. Very seldom do you hear people say things like redeemed. My soul has been redeemed. My heart has been redeemed. My life has been redeemed. But redemption is a term we need to remember because it's so important. That's why we sang together just a few minutes ago that wonderful old Baptist hymn that describes what it's all about. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the great promises that the Lord Jesus has made to you. We've already looked over the last few weeks at Him saying to us, I will forgive you. I will love you. This morning, I want you to hear His promise. Jesus Christ says to you, in the midst of whatever's happening in your life, I will redeem you. And I want us to take a few moments, and I want us to look together at what that means. And I want us to look together by looking at the wonderful lines of that old hymn that we sang. This is one of those hymns that's filled with rich theology. So let me share it with you. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You know, people associate so many images when they talk about God. It's usually not enough to say to somebody, I believe in God, or to ask somebody, do you believe in God? Because statisticians tell us that almost everybody is going to say, yes, I believe in God. And yet, if you carry on a conversation with someone and you begin to talk about who God is and what God means and what God has done and what God stands for, you begin to realize we're talking about totally different people. We need to be careful that when we talk about the Lord, we're all talking about the same person. You see, some people have an image of God as someone who is near to us, but others think of God as someone who is far, far away, far beyond reach. Some people think of God as loving and caring. Some people think of Him as wrathful and judgmental. Some people believe He is interested in everything that's going on in your life. Some people think God could not care less who you are or what you do. It matters that you believe the right things about God. A.W. Tozer once said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that for a moment. What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Because it affects the way you live, it affects the things you believe, it affects the way you relate to other people, it affects the way you live your life. What you think about when you think about God affects everything about your life. And from the beginning, God has invited us to think of Him as our Redeemer. It's one of those things He goes back to again and again and again. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Long before anything else that's found in this book was written, Job was already present. And in the midst of that, Job declares, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." What an incredible statement of faith. I know my Redeemer lives. In the last book of the Bible that was written, Revelation describes the throne room of heaven where every believer cries out to Christ the Lamb and says, "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Between the two, in Psalm 107:2, the Bible challenges us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. In other words, to think about God clearly is to think of Him as a Redeemer. One way the Bible can be described is as the record of the acts of a Redeemer God. Of all of the ways you describe Scripture, that one works, and it works every time. The acts of a God who redeems His people. So many people have a wrong idea about the Lord who reveals Himself in the Word. They think the Bible is full of stories about a wrathful God who punishes people that defy Him, who does away with those people who have sinned and rejected His guidance. They believe that it's about a God who punishes us when we fail. But here's the truth. The story of the Bible is this. Time after time, people rejected the Lord and turned away from Him. Time after time, they received His blessings. They heard His truth. They recognized His commands. And then they decided, I don't want anything to do with that. I can run my own life. I don't need the Lord. The Bible describes how sinful actions always lead to devastating consequences. Those people who turned their backs on God, those people who said to the Lord, I don't need you, I don't need anybody, I will live my life the way I please, every time encountered the same consequence, and that is that their lives began to fall apart, that their nations began to fall apart, that as a people they began to fall apart, that individually they fall apart because the consequences of sin never change. And when we rebel against God, and when we turn away from His Word, and when we begin to live our lives in rebellion against Him, we're always going to inherit the same consequences. We did it to ourselves. And so many times the Lord should have abandoned people who did not need His help. You know, if anything, the Bible ought to say this. People rebelled against God. People rejected His Word. People were so sure they could live life without Him. And so God said, fine, do it yourself. Suffer the consequences. I'm done with you. Should have done that to all these folks in Scripture. Should have done that to me. Should have done that to you. Okay? You want to do it your way? Do it your way. I'm done with you. But here's the incredible thing. But the Bible tells the story about a God who would not give up redeeming His people. Time and time again, when nobody deserved it, He still stepped in to save. Time after time, when people had turned away from Him, He found a way to reach out to them and bring them back again. The Bible tells us that we have a God who never quits on any of us. He never abandons a sinner. He never gives up on a rebel. Instead, He reaches to reclaim and redeem people who don't deserve it. The Bible is about a God who redeems people who desperately need a Savior. No wonder we sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, because that's a way of saying, nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Nothing like this ever should have happened to me at all. But I'm a new person. I'm a butterfly, Kimberly. All because of Jesus. And that's the second line. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. One of the things we need to understand about redemption is this. Redemption never comes without a price. The very term redemption means to buy back. It means something was given away and the only way to get it back is to buy it back. It never comes easily. It never comes simply. God can't save sinners from the consequences of their sin by simply saying, oh, let's just let bygones be bygones. You know, I know you rebelled against me. I know you turned your back on me, but you know, we're just going to forget about it. We're just going to act like those things never happened. We're going to determine that you never chose to sin and you never turned your back. And I'm just going to forget all of that and let it go, because once the sin is there, it's there. Once you've done it, you've done it. And nobody can make it just go away by magic. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to pay the price. God can't just overlook rebellions or rejection of His will. The truth is, redemption reminds us of how seriously sin damages a lost soul. We prefer to think about sin by saying, I've made my mistakes. You've made your mistakes. I've done a few things wrong. You've probably done a few things wrong. But the truth is, I'm really a pretty good person. The Bible reminds us of what a serious thing it is to recognize I am outside the will of a holy God. And I am dealing with eternity apart from Him. If somebody doesn't pay the price. Just like the boy in his boat, somebody has to pay. And here's the thing, and blood is the price for sin. Not just any blood, but the blood of a perfect sacrifice. Nothing else can satisfy the requirements of what you've done and what I've done. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen how Ephesians describes Christ. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What is it saying? It is saying redemption always comes by way of the cross. Always. Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is saying, I am the only one who spilled His blood on the cross for you. Never forget that. You know, sometimes when we want to discuss the various facts and comparisons of different religions, we can talk about, well, this group believes this, and this group believes this, and this group thinks this, and this group thinks that. But when it comes down to the question, so who went to the cross for you? There's only one answer. There's only one. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's His greatest gift. So never forget, we are redeemed through His infinite mercy. If Christ is your Redeemer, then only He can redeem. Listen to what the Bible declares. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He has delivered us. He has conveyed us. He has done what only He can do. If you were able to fix your own life, if you could earn your own place in heaven, if you could, you or anyone else could take away the consequences of your sin and your rebellion and your failure, then there would be no need for the cross. The cross would be useless. There are other ways to receive what only God can give. The truth is, Jesus would have died needlessly unless His sacrifice is the price of mercy. This is what Colossians says. Colossians says, through the cross, the Lord picks us up where we are and carries us to where we cannot go without Him. Isn't that good? It says, He lifted us up from that place of sin where we were, separated from God, helpless and alone, and He conveyed us to where we cannot go apart from Him. My eternal life in this world, my hope for eternity in the future, lies from the fact that I have a Redeemer who picked me up and put me where I don't deserve to be. He is our Redeemer, Savior. And if you ever doubt His amazing love, look to the cross and remember the cost of mercy. Not just mercy, but I love how that hymn describes it. Did you see what it said? We are redeemed through His infinite mercy. Without limit. Without boundary. Infinite mercy. Did you notice a common theme that we saw in the scripture this morning? In Revelation, the Bible talks about every tribe, tongue, people, and nation being part of that great heavenly kingdom. Psalms describes people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. What is the Bible saying? It says that everybody is invited to know Christ as their personal Redeemer and Savior. Aren't you glad that when the Lord began to say, who am I going to save? Who am I going to cover with the blood of the cross? Who am I going to give forgiveness of sin? He didn't say, this group of people. This group of people look like they deserve it. This group of people, I think I'll redeem them. Everybody else, out of luck. I really like that word that the Bible uses in Revelation. It says every tribe, tongue, people, nation, everybody, north, south, east, west. What is the Bible saying? It is saying nobody is left out. When Jesus used His blood to cover your sin, He used His blood to cover the sin of everybody who is willing to trust in Him. No exceptions, no exclusions. Nobody is denied. Nobody is turned away. All you do is receive that gift He so freely offers. And that's why everybody who asks for His redemption, everybody who seeks His mercy, everybody who asks for His salvation can confidently declare, His child and forever I am. My favorite passage describing His promise to redeem is the one that we read together this morning. Let me read it to you again. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Redeemer, is also the one who says to each one of us, personally and individually, I have called you by your name. One of the things that I believe with all of my heart is that in everybody's life, there comes that moment where they hear the call of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I'm ready to save you. I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to transform you. I want to redeem you. What's the Lord saying to you this morning? It's very simple. It speaks to all of us. Even a little boy could understand. I made you. I lost you. I bought you back. You are mine. And All it takes is a willingness to say, Jesus Christ, Son of God, I want what only you can give. Wash me from my sin. Cleanse me forever. Redeem me. Buy me back so I can be yours. Is that you this morning? Are you here this morning without a relationship with Christ Jesus? With kind of a vague idea of who God is, but not realizing when I talk about Him, I'm talking about the Redeemer, the Savior. I'm talking about the one who spilled His blood for me. I'm talking about the one who bought me back for God. And today I want to trust Him. I want to trust Him as my Savior. I want to trust Him as my Lord. I want to hear Him call my name in my heart so I can give myself to Him. In a minute, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If that's you today and you want to receive Christ, if you just slip your hand up, I'll be looking. Staff will be looking. We want to talk to you about how you can know Jesus as Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, boy, I want to be a part of a church like this. I want to be a place that worships the one and only Redeemer, Savior, Jesus. And I want to be part of this place. God's calling me here. Maybe there's another decision. Let's stand. Let's sing. As God speaks, you respond.